Philippians. We're doing that study through the summer, and so I'm excited to take the next chapter, the next few verses. It's chapter 1, verses 18 to 30. I'm going to read it for you and then give you a little bit about what I think, and then what God's going to speak to us, see what happens. So it goes like this, verse 18 of chapter 1. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to gain or to die is, yeah, you know. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you in for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will be abound on account of me. It sounds a little weird, but we'll get to it. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So, Philippians is interesting, and I know we've talked about the background in other messages, and that's good, but I find that it's wordy. There's a lot of things bouncing around, and you're wondering, what is Paul doing here? What I pull out of that, and after looking at what Paul was saying, is that here's the thing. Life is complicated. Yeah? Who here thinks life is just a piece of cake? You laugh, I know, right? Have you ever seen Charles Schultz peanut cartoons? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Lucy, she's a sweetheart, eh? And Charlie Brown's got a problem. She says to Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair. And she says, some place it so that they can see where they're going. Some place it so they can see where they've been. And some place it so they can see where they are at the present. And on the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing? And Charlie Brown sighs and says, I can't even unfold mine. Have you ever been there? We got these Tommy Bahama chairs. They are complicated. I love them. They were a gift for me. I have the hardest time folding them. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but when I read that story, I was like, I get it, because I'm standing there going, ugh. This is not like rocket surgery here. Like, what's the problem? We should be able to relax. It's difficult. And sometimes when I try to take it down after I've sat on it, I can't get it back into folding. And it's not hard. It's not, but it seems to be. And so when I saw this story and read this, I was like, yeah, I get it. Life can be difficult. And there's times in life where you think everything's going fine. But life can be confusing. And it can be complicated. I would sometimes like things to be less complicated. Now, my memory's slowly deteriorating, so things are getting less complicated because I forget everything. And I have no idea why. Michelle tells me all sorts of stuff that I apparently said I do but don't remember saying. But it gets complicated, it gets confusing, and we can get stuck focusing on the past. We can get stuck focusing on the now, and we can also get stuck focusing on the future. How many of you know people like focusing on the future where they're like, I will one day get to go do that, or I will one day try this, or I'll go on this trip, or I'll do that, or I'll visit them one day. And it starts in the small things. When you're talking with people or and you sense that there's a need in them, and then you're like, I should say something, but then you don't. Well, one day I'll say something. And then you walk away. Does that one day usually come? Not really, right? Sometimes we just ignore it. And I find that if I don't jump on things that I'm thinking about sooner than later, I won't do it. And that happens in our own life. That happens. So we're talking about just personal things where we're interacting with people. But then when we get into our own life in bigger decisions, we're like, oh, well, I'll get there when I retire. When I retire, I'll go do that. When I finally reach this goal, which it's always good to have goals, but if you're always waiting for that goal and it's never coming, time to change your goals, right? Time to move and adjust a little bit. And so we're always thinking about the future. Some are just in the present, and they never think about the future, ever. So they're just randomly flailing around in life in the now, which would be a good feeling for some of us that are always goal-oriented and think in the future, but it really gets nowhere. And sometimes it's just by fluke that they get there. And then those that think of the past, and this is the tough one, and we all do it, but it was so much better when I was younger, or it was so much better when I went to school, or when I did this, or when I did that, and you just start thinking that way. And it wasn't better, it was different. It was just different. And so we don't want to think in the past, be stuck there. We want to go there, but we don't want to stay there. We don't want to be stuck in the present. We want to be here and now, but not without any goals. And then we don't want to, you know, always think of the future and never get there, right? So we sometimes can overcomplicate life. And so if we do that, I think Paul struggled before he became a Christian, before he had his experience. I think he struggled with this same thing. But now he says this, and this is the key. I die for Christ. I die for Jesus. In Philippians chapter 1, we see Paul sharing his basic life principle. The principle that gave him purpose and meaning in his life, the principle that guided his every choice, and in the end gave him comfort in death. I know we don't always like to talk about death, but it's a thing. It's going to happen to all of us, right? Just talk to Jonathan. He knows. He works in this business, right? We all, and I don't want to sound morbid. I don't want to get into, you know, oh, woe is me. But the thing is, it's a fact of life. We birth, we live, we die. Everything has that cycle. It doesn't mean we don't miss people. It doesn't mean that it still doesn't hurt. But it's a fact of life. And if you don't have a purpose, that's where you miss it. Paul, this guided his every choice, and it gave him comfort in that. So let's look at this. Let's look at changing our perspective on what can give us joy in our journey. And firstly, we need a mindset of confidence, not false confidence. There's a difference between confidence and false confidence, but we need confidence. He says, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether life or death. Like, Paul showed such faith and such confidence in these verses. He had already proclaimed that through the chains of Christ, through Christ that we've been made known, and because of the critics, Christ had been preached. So even if things are going bad, even if people are against you, they're still talking about Christ. He's saying that God is magnified. Christ is magnified no matter what people say, even if it's bad, right? He's saying God can use that. He was confident that God would work everything out for his plan. He was confident that God would give him courage, even if death was upon him. He was confident. And so he knew that the Spirit would come and help him. He knew that the Spirit was with him. And we can have that same kind of confidence, but it's a mindset. Understand, you can have it. When we trust in God and in the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we can have that confidence. But having that confidence is a choice. And I think this is where Christians get kind of confused. They think that I'm going to become a Christian, and then easy peasy, yeah, lemon squeezy, we're good, right? No, no. You have to make a choice every day. You have to choose, but you have to have a confidence to do that. And I always used to tell the kids when they were young, if they were struggling, and I'm like, fake it till you make it, right? This is the right thing. You do this thing. You may not feel like you're confident, but act like it, right? And then you'll learn to be confident, right? Through adversity, you will learn to be confident, and you'll see it's not as bad as you think it is. And so, fake it till you make it. That's in the beginning stages. And then eventually you start to realize God is doing things. I don't have to fake this anymore. He's doing it. He's walking me through many things. And it doesn't mean it's going to turn out to be exactly the way you want it, but it does mean that he's walking you through it. So have a confidence. Have a mindset of confidence. Not arrogance, not cocky, but have confidence in Jesus that he's going to walk you through these things. He's going to be with you in the good and in the bad. We love him in the good, right? And sometimes we forget about him. But in the bad, we come running. Why are you doing this to me? It's like, he just felt like it today. Just decided, I'm going to wreck your day. Pow. It's fun, right? I know if I was God, I would probably do that. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that. So secondly, we need a mindset of conviction. Conviction. We've been taught our whole life that conviction is bad. It's not bad. Conviction is good. You need conviction. Not, oh, I'm so convicted. You want conviction. Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, that sounds kind of like, wow, Paul, get a grip, bro. Like, you're depressing. when I hear that still, but if you don't understand it, then yeah, you can look at it in a way where it's like, no, this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's one of the shortest and simplest terms, texts in the New Testament, but it's one that has a big punch, and you can read over it and not get it. I remember preachers back in my day used to always say, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I'm like, I don't want to die. I got stuff to do. But you can still do what you need to do. But they would hit you, but no one would explain it. So let's spend a little bit of time on this. Paul said to live is Christ. So what we need to realize is that every one of you and everyone out there is living for something or someone. Every person who has lived in the past, who is living now, who will live in the future, has to finish the sentence, for me to live is what? There are many things you could do. If you were in the NHL, you would say, for me to live is hockey. You would say that because you eat, breathe, and sleep hockey. If you're a musician, a professional musician, you might say, for me to live is music. If you were an artist, for me to live is art. I express myself through art. If you're a teenager, for me to live is my boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, my whole life is over because we broke up. It's not. Let's move on. A grandparent would say, for me to live is my grandchildren. Right? Because you love them. And that's okay to love them that much. But sometimes we put that before God. And so you can fill in the blank with whatever. Love, sex, money, whatever. Put it in there. Your career, you could put that in there. But we can't miss the important thought that every single one of us has to fill in that blank. And if you're filling it with something else, you need to evaluate. You need to evaluate it. Everyone will finish this sentence some way and somehow. What would it look like for a person to say, to live is Christ? What does it mean? Well, it means that their whole life is wrapped up in living for Jesus. Living for Jesus is their purpose and their main focus. Everything else is underneath that prioritized. Doesn't mean they don't have anything else. Because I know as soon as I say that, people go, whoa, that's intense. So I gotta, you know, strip to, sackcloths and go eat locusts in the desert, and now I'm follow Jesus, and that's it. I can do nothing else. No. But the inspiration is Christ. The strength for our life is in Christ. The reward of life is because of Jesus. There can be no greater reward than knowing Christ in this life. And then, more fully, in eternity. But sometimes we focus too much on, you know, we used to focus on, oh, I can't wait to go home to Jesus. It's like, what? It used to hurt my feelings when my mom would say that. It's like, I can't wait to go home to Jesus. And I'm like, well, we're kind of here still, so I kind of feel weird, but sure, right? You felt weird about it. But she was not wrong. It's just, it was something that people didn't fully understand in the way we were taught. It made it sound like, oh, I just want to get out of here. Where's the next plane out, right? And that's a bad attitude to have. We want to live. You still have things you can do. There's still things. If you're here, you're here for a reason. There's a reason why you're here. You're not just here because, God's like, oh, I'll get to you. I just haven't really caught up with this thing in the Middle East. And then, you know, Trump, I've been really all dealing with that. And then, you know, Trudeau and all these other leaders and kings and queens. They're a handful. I got to deal with this stuff. So I'm just going to put you on the back. No, it's not how it works. You're here for a reason. And so our whole life has to be focused around what Christ wants, what Christ wants us to do. He has to be the center. But if we down the road decide not to go this route, if we decide to not finish the sentence, things will end up drastically different in your life. And that's troublesome. Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If we fill it with something else, then we're in trouble. If we fill it with money, if we fill it with careers, it's all loss. All of that is a loss because we put that before God. Whether it's relationships, it doesn't matter. Put whatever it in. It's always going to be loss. And so how is death a gain for Christians? Well, I mean, we can say the way it used to be, oh, well, you know, you get to go to heaven and it's a good time. And you get the presence of the Lord. And those are all true. But there is a famous preacher that I was reading about, Alexander McLaren, and he answered this question, how is death a gain for a Christian? And he said, in death, we lose everything we don't need. We lose the world, we lose the flesh, and he threw in we'd lose the devil. We lose our trials, we lose our trouble, and we lose our tears, our fears, and our weaknesses. But what we gain is everything that matters to God. We gain our personality. We gain our identity, true, become perfect in Christ. We gain our knowledge of all that is good. We gain God in heaven. It's huge. The presence of God in heaven can be like nothing else. But we gain that. So we lose everything we don't need. And so that's how we understand to live is Christ and to die is gain. Then we should have no fear of death. We should have no fear. That doesn't mean we long for it and we're playing Frogger on 176 out here, right? We don't walk out to the street looking to see if maybe this time the bus is going to get us. I promise you, the bus always wins, right? You don't win. And so, what is your conviction? What do you fill in the blank with? First. Doesn't mean you don't have a life. First. Thirdly, quickly, you should have a mindset of conflict. Conflict's a good thing. Conflict is good. Some people thrive on it, you know. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul wrote in verse 22, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. I've been torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Now, that sounds really kind of arrogant, doesn't it? It sounds like, whoa, Paul, you're pretty full of yourself, right? He's like, if I stick around, you guys are going to just be fine. I'd really like to go to heaven so I don't have to deal with you people anymore, but I'll stay. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is there for a reason, and so he will stay. And he chooses to stay, and obviously he has no choice because God hasn't taken him, right? That's what he's saying. It sounds funny, but in Paul's mind, he's saying death's gain is better by far. Which is Christ, right? And if it had been up to Paul, he would choose to die and to go with Christ. But some people want to die because they do not like this life. They're just unhappy with this life. But for Paul, it was more about looking forward, being in the now, but looking forward to life with Christ in heaven. And so the conflict was, although he wanted to go be with Christ, he realized that he would still be needed in this world. You are still needed in this world. Until God calls you home, you are still needed. You are still needed. Are you hearing this? Because some don't feel like they're needed. Some of you feel like you're not needed. Some of you know people that feel like they're not needed. You are needed. That's it. If you don't take anything out of this, you are needed. Take it home with you. Chew on it for a little while. Think about it. And don't beat yourself up because you are needed. And many of us, when we think of dying, when we think of passing, we think about the things we'll miss and the things you can't be focused there. Right, you have to think about why you're here now. Now, so what is your conflict? Paul's was between heaven and here. That was his conflict. Obviously, he wasn't going to do anything about it. But the point is, he had a conflict. Man, I'd really like to go to heaven, but I need to be here to help people. He knew what his purpose was. What is your conflict? It's good to have some conflict. Figure out what that is. The best use for your life is to invest in something that will outlast it. The best use for your life is to invest in something that will outlast your life. That's huge. Do we do that? Are we doing that now? We need to think this through. Is everything we're doing, is there a reason for it, and will it outlast us? Think it through. So when you think, well, what could that be? I have no. Well, the people that you influence. When we die, we get God and people. So you're stuck with us. Yeah, sorry. I'm stuck with you. You're stuck with me. Let's just get it over with now. It's good, right? We're all going to be okay. We're all going to be together. That's what you get. So invest in relationships. Invest in community. That's why we focus so hard on community here, because it's something that will outlast us. The lunches that we provide for these schools will outlast us, I guarantee you. I remember when people did great things for me, and they weren't always that great. They weren't great. They were investing in me. I remember those to this day, and they influenced me. You, by providing and helping, do not invest in other people. It lasts longer than you, and it moves on. And you don't even have to have those people in your life, and it's investing in you. It's impacting you. So do the same. Pay it back to others. These are the things that we need to ponder when reading Philippians, to find the joy in our journey, whether it's fun right now or whether it's not fun right now, to find the joy in our journey. Joy is not something that where you're like, woo, and you're just like running around all smiles and irritating everyone, right? Like Disney, right? Like, ooh, it's spazzy. No, that's not joy. Joy is an inner peace, knowing that I can still, even though things are bad, I can still believe that God has a plan, that he's using me, he's right, and that I'm okay with it. That doesn't mean you can't get mad at God, but joy. Think about what true joy is. It's really easy to go through life on autopilot. You just press a button, lay back, and let her fly. And you can do it, but it will catch up on you. It will catch up on you. And sometimes you can get so far off course that you don't even know where you are anymore. I want to challenge you today that we need to think our relationships, we need to think our relationship with God and with others. We need to think about why we do what we do. We need to understand there will be conflict. We need to understand that there will be conviction. We need to understand that we have to have confidence. But that kind of conviction, confidence, and conflict that Paul had leads to courage, it leads to peace and joy for our journey to see God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can have a confidence in you. Thank you that you are walking us through everything we go through, the good, the bad, and help us to find joy in everything, knowing that we're doing it for a reason. Let us fill in the blank so that we can say to live is Christ. Let us fill that blank in properly. Let us think about it as we go our separate ways today. We thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen.